You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the draft, play the draft with the Cleveland Browns for your chance to win incredible prizes. Play the Draft is a new free fantasy NFL draft game. Very, very cool. Nathan and I are into it. The first contest is live now. Sign up at clevelandbrowns.com today. You get to see the players you select in this thing, their stock rise and fall like the stock in a company. The green arrow's going up, the red arrow's going down, and you get valuation reports. It really is a fun and unique way, I think, to follow the draft, and we encourage Browns fans to jump in on it and be a part of this. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, this is a Football Monday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we are looking still to talk with the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. Hopefully he'll be joining us shortly on the line. But we are, in the meantime, going to get into some tweets that have been coming through, rolling through for us. And you can call us, by the way, 216-578-0850. Some backlash about DeSean Jackson. Laura, her handle is @LakesideGirl. No, 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 in caps. Absolutely not. She says he's a cancer in the locker room and on the field. You know, as I look at it, Nathan, I'll say this. I don't know what he is in the locker room. I certainly have questions about the guy's off-field character, but I'm going to throw this in there pretty quickly. It's incumbent upon the team, whether it's the Browns or anyone else, you get to the bottom of what the guy is as much as you possibly can. You have actually a much better opportunity with a player at this level than the coming out of the college ranks, because there is much more history to go through, much more thorough evaluation that you can have. And I think the reason I would say no, don't do it, maybe it's right, but and I'm not going to question whether or not Laura or anyone else has more background information on a guy than the team does, but chances are you don't. And I think if the team makes a decision to bring a guy in and sign a guy, he's satisfied their concerns. And I don't see this team taking the risk if they felt the risk was legit.
Absolutely. And I think this is a situation where teams are going to be using the FBI to investigate. We've seen reports of that today to make sure they do their background work on. There's no question he can play. So if you can get him in a situation where you don't have to worry about the other things, he can play. There's no question about that in my mind. I do agree with you, though. The sentiment we're seeing on Twitter here on Cleveland Browns Daily is pretty much anti-bringing DeSean Jackson in. And I think some of it is smart. And Kyle at Browns fan Kyle in Toledo says, I wouldn't want Jackson if he was $10 million 10-year contract. $10 10-year contract. The guy's selfish player. Teams equal championships, which is good. This is one that I like that kind of brings a little bit more context overall. From at the real Xavier P, the career coach, he says, Browns have a number one receiver, Gordon. They have a slot receiver, Andrew Hawkins. Now they need an overall possession guy over the middle. Could be somebody like a Jordan Matthews, like an Allen Robinson, that type of player. And those players are in the draft for a heck of a lot less money than a DeSean Jackson is.
Right, right. And that's the other thing, is that you can go through. When you make a move like this, let's put aside as much as we can the baggage. When you make a move, the financial investment in this, it has a domino effect on everything else you're doing at the position. And you can't ignore the star that you do have, the star that you've been building here, that one of the top receivers in the game that he established himself as last season, Josh Gordon, and what the financial implications are going forward with him. There's very much a business plan for the Browns that has him tied up to a long-term deal coming down the pike. I think once everything is satisfied from the Browns' perspective of his availability, the concern over him being one strike away kind of falls into the background of this. Can protections against that be built into a contract? Yes, they can. It's sure. It's done all the time, and this team can certainly do that. And that won't dissuade this team from making that deal. But here's the problem. You bring in another receiver. You bring in a guy with his level, DeSean Jackson's level of accomplishment and his salary expectation to get here versus other teams that you're going to compete with to get him here. There is no way you are avoiding upsetting your salary structure at the position.
That's my biggest point. take DeSean Jackson. Again, I do not know what ultimately led the Eagles to release DeSean Jackson. He's played in the game, hasn't been suspended for anything, never has been arrested for anything. That's fine. I'm just looking at it from a football standpoint. I think given the wide receivers in this draft, that you don't want to draft or bring in a guy like DeSean Jackson. You're going to have to pay that much. Then you're going to extend Josh Gordon, and you're going to have to make sure you pay Josh Gordon more than you paid DeSean Jackson,
right,
probably significantly.
Right.
So that's a massive investment there. And remember, this team's going to need to extend Gordon. It's going to need to extend Jordan Cameron, Jabal Sheard, Joe Hayden. Those are all coming up soon. You want to get a long-term deal done with Alex Mack. The salary cap flexibility that this team has right now is a great asset that will allow it to draft and grow with its stars from within. That is important. That is very important, in my opinion, and that's why it's a good thing not to just throw it out there. This isn't quite fantasy football, and sometimes you need to see that the sum of the whole is greater. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And I don't know that bringing in DeSean Jackson, given what he would cost versus getting one of the wide receivers you could get in the draft, is worth that opportunity cost.
You just, I don't know if you realize this, but you just quoted, it was one of the all-time favorite quotes of one of my all-time favorite people, the Hall of Fame head coach, former head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Marv Levy, would always say in assessing personnel, use this guide, that the whole has to be greater than the sum of the parts. The point being, and it's still a little bit awkward thing when you look at the phrasing of that, but it's, and people have, I've not heard it in a long time. I heard it recently. Bill Polian mentioned it to me in quoting Marv, and then you just said it now, which was kind of freaky because I heard it within the last couple of weeks from Bill. But to hear that is a reminder, and if you stay true to that plan, and what it ultimately means is, you have to look beyond each individual and see how it all fits together.
Right.
And Marv's context was on a football team that had Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer, making all of those the sum was a real challenge. You have big egos. You certainly had big contracts. You didn't have the challenges that the salary cap presents now. But with that now, that's what Ray Farmer has to manage now, is get fit these star quality difference maker players onto your team, make them business fits, but also make them chemistry fits.
And that's important. And also, you have to look at the way your team is structured. One of the reasons that it works so well in Atlanta with Roddy White and Julio Jones is they do different things. Yes, Julio Jones could do everything, but Roddy White is that more possession guy. He's that guy that on 3rd and 8 will get you 9 yards and knows how to use his body, knows how to make the tough catches and play at a high level in the red zone along with Tony Gonzalez. When you look at this Browns wide receiving, or take a step further, their pass catching core. Mm-hmm. Josh Gordon can do anything that he wants to do, yes, but his biggest asset, his ability to make big plays, get down the field. Of his touchdowns, all but one have been from more than 20 yards out. Jordan Cameron, and hopefully this is something he can develop, but right now as a tight end, his biggest asset is on routes that break away from the quarterback, that are going down the field. He's not a Tony Gonzalez yet, who turns around, camps at 8 yards, bows up, and catches the ball for the first down.
Right.
Andrew Hawkins is a guy who's going to be shifty and make big plays when you get the ball in his hands in space. What this team doesn't have is that bigger-bodied receiver. It doesn't necessarily have to be bigger. You have to play big, but that who can get that 3rd and 7 catch for you, that can be that red zone wide receiver for you, that can win consistently against single coverage, even if he is covered because of his physical stature, his ability to use his body as a shield and catch the football. That's not DeSean Jackson.
No.
I think that getting that guy, think a young Anquan Boldin, that type of receiver is more important overall for the Cleveland Browns than it is to get a DeSean Jackson.
I think, and I'm not going to, when I say this, I'm not saying that he is that level of talent. But I think in the Browns' eyes right now, in the eyes of the decision makers of this football team, DeSean Jackson is Andrew Hawkins. That's what they expect him to be. That explosive guy. He's going to work from the slot. He's going to make a lot of yards after catch. He's not just taking that move the sticks catch and then fall into the ground, at least in theory. He's going to be explosive. Again, I want to reiterate, I'm not saying he is Jackson. I'm not saying he's close to Jackson in level of talent. And my sense is that Jackson will probably cost significantly more, although the way Hawkins' contract is structured, he's getting a very good chunk of money in the first part, especially these first couple of years of his deal. So the Browns loaded that heavily in part to discourage the Bengals from matching that deal when they could with him being a restricted free agent. But he is in place to be the dynamic other guy for Josh Gordon in that smaller bubble role. And right. I think, you know, we don't think he's doing everything out of slot. He's got a lot of versatility to be utilized in as Kyle Shanahan's creativity and imagination come into play, putting him in different spots, right, in the offense, different parts of the formation to let Andrew Hawkins be everything Andrew Hawkins can be. I think that's who they're committed. In fact, we know that's who they're committed to because that deal's done. And others would say, well, add more. Again, go out and make the investment and bring in a DeSean Jackson because it'll just throw more asset at the receiver position. No, I don't think that that's the way this will go down, and I don't think that that makes itself a smart investment for this football team, especially if it's not coming at any level of a bargain, and it isn't. The risk that's involved, the cost that's involved, all of that to me adds up to this not being one for the Browns.
And we'll talk with Sal Palantonio about this at the top of the hour, yeah. But while there aren't a ton of teams, it seems like, lining up for him, there are enough that it will be a bidding war, and he's not going to have to play on a short-term deal that, you know, is without a bunch of guarantees. He's good. He's one of the top receivers in the game. I get
it. And he's going to see a place in his mind that will look potentially more attractive to him, maybe right in his own division where he can compete against his former team, where he knows the opponents that he's facing well and better. And I think it would make more sense for him to make that kind of move or find another club that in his mind is much closer to competition with an established quarterback. You don't have that here. There's not the selling point for the Browns is going to be more challenging, I believe, than it is going to be for other teams. And yeah, that's not a revelation either.
Let's go north of the border quickly. Cliff in Canada, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey what's up, Cliff?
Hi. What I want to talk about mainly is Manziel and Josh Gordon together.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of that in that I with Manziel's reputation as a bit of a partier and things like that, and Josh with his one strike, I'm a Josh Gordon fan, so I'd rather not have them together with Manziel being like your quarterback and an alpha male type guy, right?
Well, if you're suggesting that he'll influence Josh the wrong way, I hope I can give Josh enough credit too to be aware of that. You can be led anywhere you want to be if you're inclined to go the wrong way, do the wrong thing. I think by this stage, hopefully, of his life and what he's experienced, Josh Gordon can say, if I follow X, and this doesn't apply to Manziel, who the heck knows? Maybe a lot of this reputation that Manziel has, and I'm guessing a good portion of it's warranted just given what we've seen in media reports, what others have said about him. But to say that he's coming in here to be the devil in a quarterback's uniform to, you know, lead Josh Gordon or anybody else astray, it might be is a little bit of a reach. It's a reach for me. These are professional athletes who better be. And I think Manziel, for his part, that should be the last thing. My questions about him have very little to do about that. In fact, that's minor in my view. It's more about the football and what he can and can't do as a player. I think you weigh character, but you better have a strong enough organization. And by the way, count on the people you have on your team to understand what they need to do to keep available and contribute and do the right thing. All right, we've got more coming up for you. We want to hear from you at 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850.
The dramatic pause. 0850.
I did a little pause on that one because I was going to say something else. But
I like it.
And then you can also tweet us at Browns_daily. We are going to have a conversation in a little bit, top of the hour, with Sal Palantonio, ESPN. That is coming up next, or in a little bit, on ESPN 850 WKNR.